This is a life-changing message from New Life Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. There is a light in me. And now, let's join Bishop Avi Hillier.
I do applaud also the pastors who are here. Good to see you all. And amen. Every time I see pastors turn aside, I always get excited. Amen. In Isaiah 54, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me at the end of last year and began to talk to me about where the body of Christ is and what plans he has in the coming days for the body of Christ. And basically said that there needs to be a resurgence of faith within the body of Christ, and that there's a season of the supernatural that we're in, that those who are in faith will be able to tap into and see some amazing things done. Well, whenever the Lord speaks to me, prophetically like that, he always ties it back in to scripture, because a prophetic word will always be validated by scripture. And so you'll always be able to see that in principle in the word of God. So when he spoke that to me and then told me to study this passage, that in here would be the keys that I would have to teach from to alert and alarm the body of Christ about what was happening. And so I began to look at it, and then the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, began to teach me. I read as much as I can, but then I have to get to that time where I'm listening to him. And I got to tell you, he tells me stuff that's not in the commentaries. Amen. And so so in listening and talking to him, then I began to see what was going on. All right. Verse 2 says, enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth. Look at the person next to you and say, I'm about to break forth. Yeah. Thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. And thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles. Look at the person and say, God's about to bless my children. In a supernatural way. Right. And make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Then he cautions them. He says, fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, and neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth. And thou shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. For thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name. And thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. All right. Now watch this. And this is how the Holy Ghost had me to read it. After I read that, then he said, now you go back and read verse 1. Sing, O barren, because if I got all of this down from 1, 2, 3, and 4, then I'm ready to make some noise. Come on, all right. See, it's difficult to sing unless you got an expectation. If you have gone through a barren season, you follow me? It's difficult to shout for joy unless you got an expectation of something about to happen. So then he says, sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with trial. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. In other words, he's saying here, something supernatural is about to happen. You've happened to you. He says, hey, if you really got it, you'll be able to shout about it. Amen. Now, so what we're teaching on is faith to stretch for the supernatural, because verse 2 talks about this stretching, this preparation. And so last night, we set it up. And tonight, I've got 7 points I want you to write down. And I think even in these 7 points, we'll be able to catch what we taught last night, reinforce it, and then lay some more information on us. This season of supernatural recovery is our expectation, because it's recorded in scripture. We went last night and saw that after every season of difficulty, every faith fight, it was followed by something supernatural happening. So we have that expectation. But then there are some special requirements of receiving from God, because the will of God does not automatically come to pass. Now, that's a revelation, of course, many of you have, because you've been sitting under a ministry like this that teaches you the word of God. But a lot of people don't understand that. And so they sit on the sidelines and they wait and they wait and they wait. And then they will say, well, I guess God doesn't want to bless me because nothing happens. But there are several things that are required in order to receive the supernatural. Obedience is required. We said conviction is required. Also, we said that faith is required. And then boldness and courage is required. So I understand that I have a role to play if I am going to experience the supernatural God has planned for me. I have a role to play. And so the stretching is the effort that I need to put forth, and we'll get into that. When we talk about the supernatural, lay the foundation for that. The supernatural, we're talking about it, it refers to the extraordinary intervention of God. He intervenes either by righteous principles, or he intervenes because of or directly with his power. In other words, God changes my situation. He intervenes into my situation, and that intervention into my affairs or earth's affairs is because I practice a scripture principle, or miraculously because, you know, he showed up on the scene based on my faith. All right? It takes faith for both of them. But that's what we mean by the supernatural. It's not always spectacular. It's not always spectacular, but it's always supernatural, because the origin of the change in my situation is God. Y'all got that?
Yes, sir.
See, when God heals Hezekiah, it wasn't really all that supernatural, or I mean all that spectacular, because he used something that appeared to be medicinal. All right, help me out here. That is, you know, he told the prophet, you go tell Hezekiah, take some figs, and he made this thing and put on the balls and that sort of thing. Well, anybody from the outside looking at it would say, oh yeah, somebody showed him a concoction, you understand? That's how he got it. But he got it from God, so that made it supernatural.
Right.
You follow what I'm saying? Yes, so when we talk about supernatural, we're not always talking about something that to the eyesight of men is spectacular, but we know that it's supernatural because we know the origin of that transformation comes from God. Amen?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. All right. So now, obeying God is critical. Obeying God is critical when it comes to experiencing the supernatural, and there is no substitute for obedience. Point number one I want you to write down is the possibility of the supernatural. The possibility of the supernatural. In Mark chapter 9, I need you to put your ribbon here. But in Mark chapter 9, it says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And so very early in ministry, I had to resolve to live and to have a supernatural life, supernatural ministry. And myself, early in ministry, I mean early in my pastoral ministry, you know, I was thirsty for more. I had the opportunity as a young preacher to go and preach in all kinds of churches. And so I wasn't, you know, even though I grew up in a Baptist church, I wasn't isolated by the Baptist doctrine, because I went in churches that spoke in tongues and preached as a little boy. I went in churches where, you know, I saw the prophetic gift in operation. And so I knew that was more than what I was being exposed to at the church setting that I was in. And I wanted more. So I'm studying the word of God. I'm going to seminary and that sort of thing. I want to ask questions. They won't let me ask questions. And I'm thirsting. The Bible says, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you'll be filled. So God will always fill us to the level of our hunger and thirst. And I thirsted for the supernatural. I thirsted for a ministry outside of the norm, a lifestyle outside of the norm. I wanted it. So the Bible says, if you can believe, then it becomes possible for you. So possibility is for all of us, yea, the possibility of the supernatural, for all of us is defined by our capacity to believe. So we can believe in the supernatural because scripture confirms it. He's able to do what? Exceeding, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Follow me? He's the all-powerful God. We could go scripture after scripture after scripture that sets God apart as being a supernatural God, and a God who's willing to intervene into man's affairs. When you read the story of the saints and you see the miraculous healings and the miraculous victories, then we'll all say, yes, the supernatural is possible. Now, it's only possible for you if you can believe it. Amen, amen. It's only possible for you if you can believe it. Now, it doesn't cause you to get spooky, because the supernatural that we believe in is always based on the Word of God. And that is one thing. Of course, I've come across a bunch of, you know, flakes and nuts in the body in the early days because I'm thirsting for the supernatural. And I got to tell you, I found some, oh, my God. But none of those people who were flaky had a word-based, were word-based. None of them were word-based. You know, they just say the Lord told me so-and-so and the Lord told me so-and-so. And some of the stuff that I know the Lord didn't tell them. I don't know why believers want to lie on the Lord. If you want to do something, just go on and do it. Don't lie on the Lord. You know, one person, you know, not too long ago told us the Lord told her this, that, and that. And all the stuff that she said the Lord told her was a lie. So we told her the Lord could have told you that. Because it ain't true. Right. It just wasn't true. The stuff she said the Lord told her about what's going on here, that. None of it's true. So we said the Lord couldn't have told you that. Because he can't lie. Right. So if somebody lying, and it's either you or the Lord. Okay. So now, the supernatural. Now, 1 Kings chapter 17. Go there, but I'm real quick. I'm going to see if I can get this done. But as you begin to read the scripture, you see God intervening supernatural for the three Hebrew boys, and you see the healings, you see, you know, Peter's miracle catch, you see David killing Goliath, all of these things, marvelous things in the Bible that lets us see that God's people live extraordinary lives, lives at another level, and it's possible for us. But now, here I am wanting to live a supernatural life, and The Spirit of God speaks to me and lets me know how the supernatural is possible for me. Amen, amen. Now, y'all hear me all the time talk about my little 5x5 closet office that I had. But one day in that office, God spoke this word to me out of 1 Kings 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." And he told me, perhaps it was a prophetic word when he was talking to me, that this was the key to me experiencing more in life. And then the Holy Spirit began to ask me questions. Now you say, well, how the Holy Spirit talk to you? I really wish I could explain it, but I'd be here all night. I know his voice. He has a voice. Now rarely do I hear it here, but I hear it on the inside.
Right.
Okay? So he's talking to me about this, and he says, the key to where God wants to take you is in this passage. See, so me reading out of Isaiah, telling you it's the key what God's going to do, it's nothing new. It's not something new that God just started doing. He's been doing that with me for a while. But there, way back then, he told me this was the key, and he asked me some questions. He says, was not Elijah great? Yes, he was. Was he one of the greatest prophets? Yes, he was. All right, and then he says, well, all that we know about his past, his pedigree is in this passage. Well, that's amazing, because I really had never seen it like that. And then as I began to study it, a Tishbite was like a gypsy. He, you know, a nomad moving around, not having a, everybody say, stay with him. And so then the Holy Spirit asked me, what makes God go on the backside of nowhere, get a nobody, and put him on the forefront of what he's going to do? Because that's the key. He says, now God goes on the backside of nowhere and gets Elijah, who's a nobody. And promotes him and brings him and puts him on the forefront of what he's going to do in his generation. Yeah. And he says, that's what I'll do for you. Wow. Okay. So I'm interested now. And so then he showed me, he says right here in the first verse, he says, as the Lord God of Israel liveth. And that's when God said it to me. He says, you must live like God is alive.
Yes.
Yeah. Live like he's alive. Dream like God is alive. And for a lot of folk, God is so distant. You know, he's so, you know, when people approach him religiously, he's so distant. He's so, you know, vague and he's so nebulous. He's, but he says, no, you live like God is alive.
Amen.
That's the first thing. Live like God. Dream like God is alive. If he's alive and he's sovereign and he's alive and he's almighty, nothing too hard for God. Amen. Second thing he told me to do, he says, it's right in the text, and he says, before whom I stand. Before whom I stand. Now, you got to get the picture. The prophet is there in Ahab's court. Ahab is the king. And he's looking at Ahab's servants standing around waiting for Ahab to tell them what to do. And he says, now, that's how I want you to see yourself, son. You see yourself as a servant. He says that everybody else want to be sergeants, but nobody want to take orders. He says, if you will live like I'm alive and see yourself as a servant, follow me, to do what I want done, when I want it done, I will take you from the backside of nowhere. And I know y'all may not, y'all from Acres Home may not think Acres Home is the backside of nowhere, but yes, it was for me. I ain't putting nobody's home down. But it, for me, it was the backside of nowhere. In a little 5x5 closet office with everybody laughing at me, this is what God tells me prophetically, that if I will live like he's alive, if I will see myself as a servant, he would promote me. And then the third thing was, he says, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. What gives this man the right to tell folk it not going to rain till he say so? What did he tell? He tells Ahab, the drought is on. And it ain't going to rain until I say so. What gives a man that kind of right and that kind of leverage and courage? And that was because Elijah had studied the law. He had studied the book. He had studied what God told Moses, that if the people went into idolatry, he would shut up heaven. But if they would repent, he'd open it up again. Now, this is what the Holy Ghost told me. He says, now, I want you to become a student of the word, so that you can say what I won't say it when I want it said. Oh, you hear me? Those are three simple things that God told me. I'm going to give you some simple things tonight. If you'll do these simple things, you're going to walk into a level of supernatural living like never before. And so that day when God told me to do these things, study the word of God, know what the word of God says, so when I want the word said, I can point to you, I can give you the platform, and you will say it. If you live like I'm alive, see yourself as a servant, and be a student of my word, I will promote you.
Hallelujah.
I stand here today saying, it is so. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen, amen. Now, watch this. So the supernatural is possible even in our generation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, point number two, the prophecy of the supernatural. The prophecy of the supernatural. Now, the prophecy of the supernatural is because faith, when God prophesies like he's doing now, he's getting us ready. He's raising the level of our faith to experience the supernatural, and he will use a prophetic voice to do so. I thank God I'm not the only prophetic voice that he's using in our times. Amen. But Second Chronicles 20, let's go there. Second Chronicles 20 and 20. I want you to read it simply because, you know, we got a lot of, thank God our church grows, continues to grow. Amen. And because of that, we got people, I could quote a lot of scripture. Many of y'all may already know it. But at the same time, we got some new saints who really need to see it for themselves. Verse 20 says, and they arose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Jerusalem, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Or you hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Watch this. Believe his prophets, so shall you what? Prosper, all right? And so God will use a prophetic voice, and that prophetic voice is the voice that will alert the body of Christ and alert the believer and will give the believer a vision beyond his present moment. Amen. A vision beyond the present moment. And whatever prophetic message is given will always be validated by the word. Amen. It'll always be validated by the word. But when that word is given, watch this now, and it's validated by the word, it is equal to logos.
Right.
Okay, what do you mean logos? Logos is the scripture. It's equal to the word of God. For instance, like I told you, the Lord told me to tell you to do this and so. Now, when I say that and I can back it up, then what I said is equal to fresh revelation from God. Now, understand, I ain't trying to make myself of no big person, because it's got to back up. It's got to be proven by the scripture. But I'm saying how you got to receive it. Well, I received the prophetic word from the Lord, and I began to release my faith for it. That when God speaks to me in that prophetic voice, if it comes directly from the Spirit of God or if it comes through somebody, I grab a hold to it. You got it? I'm telling this what you're going to have to do tonight. Now, I was in a church growth seminar in Dallas, Texas, and my church was real small, and the Lord spoke to me. I'm sitting there in the church growth conference, and you know, preachers and everybody all around me, and I'm just sitting there. I ain't bothering nobody. I'm there really because another man, Dr. C.L. Jackson, paid my way, paid me for my plane ticket, paid for my hotel, gave me spending change. I'm sitting there, I call it hobo style. And the Lord speaks to me. And the Lord says to me, he says, I'm going to raise your ministry up and people will come from far and near. Sit at your feet to learn church growth principles. Now, at that time, my church wasn't growing. That's why I had no money. That's why he had to pay all of my bills. But now the Lord said, everybody said the Lord said it. See, I get this thing that God's going to supernaturally raise my church up so that the kind of conference I'm sitting in that I'm going to, I'm going to host one myself. Now, in the natural, it don't look like that's even possible. It's one of them things I laughed at, like, you know, I think it was Sarah when the angel told her, you're going to have a baby. She go, you better get out of here. I mean, but I wrote it down. I believed it. You follow me? I believed it. I received it. And I took it as though I had read it here. Okay. Now, what am I doing now? I'm getting you ready to receive. I'm plowing up the ground. I'm getting you ready to receive this prophetic word you're going to hear tonight. Because it ain't about what you can figure out right now. Amen. All right. All right. So everybody say we value the prophetic voice, and we treat it as if it is a word directly to me from the Lord. All right, third point I want you to write is the pitfall to the supernatural. The pitfall. We talked about the possibilities, the prophecy, and now the pitfall. If I said pitfall. All right, now the pitfall to the supernatural is that, and of course, we all experience some measure of the supernatural. If you're born again, you got supernaturally born again.
Right.
Amen? But when we look at scripture, the Lord showed me, and he shows me right here in the passage in Isaiah, where he starts talking about stretch forth the curtain of your tents, doing all this stuff. Then he tells them, fear not, because that is what will short circuit your belief, expectation, and what you need to do for the supernatural. Fear. Everybody say the fear factor. Yeah, the fear factor. Peter's walking on the water. He's doing the supernatural. And then he looks at common situations, the water, the wind, and he gets afraid and it diminishes his faith. Got it? But he has enough sense to cry out to Jesus. Instead of sinking and then resorting totally to the natural and trying to swim back to the boat.
Come on.
He understands, you follow me, that fear has gripped him. He cries out, stretches close enough to Jesus. Jesus reaches out, catches him. Supernatural returns and they walk back to the boat.
Right.
Everybody say, stay with him, stay with him. All right. Elijah experiences the supernatural. He calls down fire from heaven. I'm telling you. And he kills 450 prophets of Baal.
Yeah.
And one woman, tell him I'm going to get him, Jezebel. Fear grips him and totally wrecks his life. Fact to the point, fear gripped him so, I mean, he went in the cave and said, Lord, just kill me right here. Well, if he really wanted to die, just stay out there. Jezebel will get you. But that's how much fear messed his mind up. I'm trying to tell you. Watch this. I submit to you, the body of Christ now is attempting to recover from a fear attack. That our dreams have been sabotaged by fear. Ooh. Amen. Let's look at a passage here. Go with your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. So fear is this human reaction to a satanic attack on the mind. And after a prolonged faith fight, people are left in fear. They fear. And so this spirit of fear speaks to you and causes you to become paranoid, causes you to think something bad's going to happen again. And you get overwhelmed by it. And so you start planning out of fear. Your expectations are based on your fears and not on faith. Okay. Things you would have attempted before, because you've gone through something, you're more conservative now. We call it conservative, being conservative and being careful and cautious. But the bottom line is you're afraid. Now, if you've ever had the privilege, I call it privilege, or if you've ever been around anybody who actually went through the Great Depression, where you were in America and you were hungry, the older people, they're very, very, some of them are still gripped by that fear. Now, we're not trying to put anybody down, but I'm saying even in the midst of plenty, they can't enjoy it. Yeah. Because don't you waste that. Yeah. Don't you waste, because that fear. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
All right, a person goes through a sickness and the first symptom of it, you follow me? That thing is coming back. You got it? And so there's a subtle fear that the believer has become comfortable with.
All right.
That compromises faith.
Yeah.
Compromises obedience.
Yeah.
So the prophet, when he's telling them to do all of this, get ready. He said, the prophet said, get ready. He said, you got to expand your place. You got to make your tent larger. Uh-huh. I mean, you're about to get blessed in such a way. But he understand they can't receive that because they in fear. All they know is we've been through a lot. Our enemies have overwhelmed us. We lost this. We lost that. We lost the other. We've been through these times of trial. You follow me? You know, we told the folk God was going to bless us, and it didn't come through. We got overrun. We got embarrassed. So he said he had to come and said, quit thinking you're going to get embarrassed. Quit thinking you're going to be made ashamed of. All of these are side effects of this fear that believers have to overcome after coming through what we've been through. I'm getting excited. Thing went up to about a 9 on that. We'll bring it back down to a 7 so I can teach it. Amen, amen. Now, I'm the Holy Ghost is talking to me. I'm taking my notes and all. And then he said, you know I'm talking to you too. I go, okay. Now, whenever the Lord starts diagnosing your case, let him.
Yes.
Don't you start interrupting him, because you're just going to make yourself look stupid. So then I'm going, okay, God, because he didn't call me out. He says, now, what are you waiting on? I gave you these instructions. This is, what are you waiting on? Well, I'm waiting on some more money to manifest. I ain't telling what I'm waiting on. He said, haven't I taught you and trained you? I give you more on your way than I do before you start. When you gonna get started? Oh, you're doing that? Go, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. You don't try to argue and bring no excuse. Yeah, well, my whole thing was, I was afraid. I wanted to get started when I saw all the resources. But that's an old, listen, that's an old lesson for me. But I understood now because of what I've been through. there were some fears that were lying down on inside of me. I wasn't even readily aware of. I thought I was just being conservative. Amen, amen, amen. Watch this, watch this, watch this. There are some things and dreams. Now, we break it down. When it comes to the kingdom, now, one of the things I was talking about now, but God told me to do some things. That's kingdom. But then there are some dreams. I pretty much have had said, okay, I think I can put that off. You know what I'm saying? I can't go into detail because some of y'all, you can't handle it. So I don't want to make you mad, that sort of thing. Because, you know, he dreaming like that. And I've been walking with the Lord 30-some years in faith, 35 years in faith, you understand? So when me and the Lord talk about stuff, it's big stuff. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It ain't $100 stuff, $500 stuff. It's big. No, okay. So there's a big ticket item that I'm talking myself out of because what I've been through. Yeah. So, you know, it's the difference between worry and wisdom. See, you make good decisions, wisdom, wise decisions, based on experience you do. But in situations, you follow me, when I'm trying to talk myself out of something God said I can have, if I stretch for it, everybody say stretch for it. Yeah, yeah, see, there's some things I can have if I stretch for them, if I use my faith for them. You follow me? That, or I can choose to live a life at a whole nother level that does not require, you follow, stretching faith. Okay, y'all.
Come on.
Okay. There are some things that you can, what we call, afford.
Right.
How many got any dreams that you can't afford right now? Yeah, okay, all right. Now, that's what I'm talking about. That's right there. That's what I'm talking about. Because that's what requires that level of faith. Because see, watch this. The other stuff you can get without God and all the confession and that kind of stuff. Okay, now don't go super spiritual on me. Everything, we got all of it, good and perfect gift come from God. I know that, but y'all know what I'm saying. And it's, I'm saying it doesn't necessarily require, you know, a divine intervention. It don't require no divine intervention. You go out to your car and start your car. Okay? Now, so what I'm saying is, it's that thing that if you don't watch it, you'll talk yourself out of it. Because you don't want the faith fight required to get it. Got it? Now, the reason you know the reason is the difference between the wisdom and you're trying to avoid a faith fight is that you can't get it, even though you talk yourself out of it that day, that thing back on you the next day. You be trying. See, that's the difference. Is you talk yourself out of it, and because, you know, you can mentally persuade yourself. But after you done that and got that thing pretty much pacified, man, that thing come up again. You find yourself, you know, let's say it's a certain house, you understand? And man, when you pass it, that's that house I wanted. But you talked yourself out of it, you didn't need it. You said that's not, it's too many square feet. You know, right now you just need a little place for you and all your children going to college. You just need a nice little place. You understand? In fact, you want a condo. You talk yourself in a condo. You don't want. But every time, I'm saying we got to watch fear. We got to be able to understand that in that situation, you are suffering from a fear attack.
Yes, sir.
You disguise it with nice little clever words as being careful. We're just going to cut back. And all that sort of thing, but bottom line, that kind of fear is like a cancer. It'll grow. It doesn't stay in one area. It just continues to multiply. And so, you know, relationship issues, and this is not a relationship conference as such, but, you know, a whole lot of relationship issues is because people are afraid. They're afraid of rejection. That's why they're over-controlling with their spouse.
All right.
Ooh, we didn't get hardly no amens. Yeah, I mean, afraid of rejection and all those sort of things. Why did I tell you to go? I'm going to go read me scripture. Yeah, I had to give me a scripture on that. Everybody want to say nothing on that. But yeah, people who are over-controlling, they fear rejection. And so many times, all of that paranoia is nothing but a fear. You follow me? Because they got messed over before. And then they made up in their mind it's not going to ever happen again. And because of that, you follow me, they operate this way. But 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. So, I said, Peter? Well, I'm in Timothy. You can stay in Peter if you want to. Okay? You can stay in Peter if you want to. I went to Timothy. Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Watch this, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Our insight into this is that fear is caused by a spirit. And it's a spirit that talks to you. Now, we know that the devil has the ability to talk to us. Talk to Jesus. You follow me? So there's a spirit that talks to you, shoots thoughts, the fiery darts. All right? So we have to start dealing with fear as though it is the spirit it is.
All right.
All right? Because if it is the spirit it is, it opens the door for other spirits. Amen. So the Bible talks about Hebrews, which we read it last night, and it hurt. We read that we've been delivered from fear. Let's go to Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews. I got to go there. Hebrews chapter 2. Because just like my redemption paid for my healing, it paid for my freedom from fear. I don't want to every day have to be dealing with this. I need to chase fear out of my life. And I need to know how. Because all of this preparation cannot be done with fear in place. Amen. So there in verse 14, he says, For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also, talking about Jesus himself, likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him, who is the devil, that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them, talking about us, who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So when I see that, I understand, wow, just like Jesus paid the price for me to live free from sin, you know, free from the bondage of grief, he also paid for my freedom over fear. Watch this. So I can chase fear out of my life. More than just a soulish, you know, dealing with fear. But the spirit of fear that torments me by this perceived danger that's coming, perceived loss that will take place, this perceived. See, I don't have to live being tormented by fear. I can overcome fear with education, knowing something else about it, experience. But for the believer, this is the key, because all of the expansion, supernatural thing God wants to do, you'll short circuit with your fear. When God already knows what he's going to do, he already knows the doors, supernatural doors he will open for you. But he cannot do it apart from your faith. And the devil knows that too. So what the devil does in a very subtle way, he gets you to talk you out of it. Wow. Amen. Well, you don't need to take a cruise because all them folk getting sick on the cruise. I thought no plague come now your dwelling.
All right.
You be on the cruise, you're the only one that's healed. Ain't nothing but fear.
Yeah.
You know you won't take a cruise, but you don't want to bleed for the money right now. So you're going to say, Dial, I ain't going to take no cruise. All them folk getting sick on the cruise. I mean, have it all gone, but I'm going to get on the ship.
Come on.
I'm telling you. That's what the Lord told me this, that people are walking around in fear.
Yeah.
You got it? And you can't listen. The real test for people committed to sowing seed comes through difficult times.
Right.
Got it? Because it's the fear of lack that causes you to rob God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
No, it's the fear of lack that causes you to rob God. You fear lack. Or it's the fear of being taken advantage of.
Uh-huh.
Got it? And man, I get my money down there. I ain't no telling what they're going to do with their money down there. I ain't going to get my money down there. Well, it's I'm telling you, but it's a fear. Why? You feel that, hey, you're going to be taken advantage of, that you're going to give your money to somebody or someplace that's not going to do right with it. But it's fear.
Right.
Yeah. I'm saying that if we break the power of fear, amen, then the principle of sowing and reaping, which we must do in order to tap into the wholeness and the fullness of life that God will not be difficult. Because, see, when it comes to tithing, God said that.
Right. Come on.
And he didn't just say it for the good times.
Right.
Oh, everybody get quiet. Please don't get quiet on me now.
Come on.
Yeah. Okay. So then, I can see in the Bible. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I can see in the Bible that this whole fear thing I got to deal with. But I'm trying to get you free from the bondage of it and the torment of it. All right? Romans chapter 8, verse 15, it says, "For you not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we receive the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Now go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Everybody say, stay with him, stay with him. All right, now look at verse 18. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. "There is no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out fear." Cast out fear. Isn't that a strange terminology? Like we cast out devils. Cast out fear.
Yes, sir.
Because fear hath what?
Torment.
He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So now understand that when I have a love for God and I know that he cannot fail me, you follow me? Coupled with me taking authority over the spirit of fear, I can live free from fear. I submit to you that they have to go hand in hand. So here's the prescription for the supernatural. Everybody say the prescription. Here's the prescription. See, he gives a prescription there in verse 3. He started talking about in Isaiah 54. He begins to give them prescription. He diagnoses that case and he gives them a prescription, because if they will apply this thing, he's telling them, then they will prepare, be ready to receive what God has for them. I say to you tonight, you got to get all the fear out. Everybody say, all the fear out your life. You got to get all the fear out of your life. Don't care what you've been through. You follow me? Verses 3, 4, and 5, and those, that's prescription fear. Don't care what you've been through. Don't care how long it took you to go through it. You cannot live in the shadow of it happening again.
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Can't live in the shadow of it happening again, because then you're in bondage.
Yes, sir.
The devil got you locked down. You can't even be happy. You sneeze. Oh, my God, I think those are Jesus. Amen. So then, they, you know, your company starts cutting back. You go, oh, no, here we go again. You know, no, you can't live like that. But I'm telling you, that's where believers are, living in fear. Amen. And God wants to set you free. Everybody say, I'm set free. Okay, all right. Here's what we talked about last night. Give it to you again. There's seven things. Number one, refocus on your source. Who is our source? God. I'm not the supernatural. That's why he's telling them. Now, your redeemer, your maker, he's telling them, God's going to make this happen. Everybody say, God's going to make it happen. Number two. Now, we got to rebuke that spirit. Since we found out fear is a spirit, we rebuke the spirit.
Yes.
Say it now. I rebuke
the spirit of fear
in the name of Jesus.
I cover my mind
with the blood of Jesus.
With the blood of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Fear has no place in my life, in my home, in Jesus' name. Amen. Play around with no fear. Better get out of Dodge. Bible says if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. All right. Now watch this. Number three, what I want to do is boost up my relationship with the Savior. And that is, I got to talk about how much he loves me. How much he loves me. No, I'm serious. You got to spend some time. I'm talking to get free. If you want to get free, talk about how much he loves you. How much he loves you. I mean, man, boy, you got to tell yourself that. You just can't read it. You got to tell yourself, you know, the Lord loves me. Boy, he loves me so much. Boy, he loves me. He sent his son Jesus to die for me. You follow me? He gave me all these promises. Because the Bible says mature love casts out fear. Mature love keeps you free from fear. Years ago, I remember when I had a bad report from the doctor, and the devil attacked me with fear on the thing, and he attacked me by challenging God's love for me. He says, after you serving God all these years, now look what you got to deal with. Now, why would God, anybody ever hear the devil talk to him like that? Because I know I ain't the only one. Yeah. Why God let you? Why God put that on? But first of all, God didn't put it on me. I tell it. Like I said, when the devil starts talking, you got to start talking too. First of all, God didn't do it. Second of all, I started talking about how much he loved me. Then I broke out singing how much he loved me. And that's where that song came from. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Now, that thing sounds so good. I thought, write that thing down. I'm just telling you. But see, what I'm doing now is I'm perfecting that love. Talking about how much he loves me. He's not forsaken you. You follow me? Now that's this biblical way to drive it out. That's the biblical way to build it up, because the Bible says when there's perfected love, there's no fear. But you got to take the time to do it. You can't do that looking at CNN and go, let me see what they say. The job market is like, no. Because the way he loves me, 10,000 can fall here.
All right.
And 1,000 can fall here.
All right.
But it ain't gonna come down. Come on. It ain't coming down me. Cause what? That's how much he loves me. And I'm telling you, you gotta build yourself up in that love of God. And when you do, I'm gonna tell you, I mean, rejection ain't no problem. Because my relationship is so strong with him, I didn't know you were gone.
Yes.
Come on. Yeah.
You know, I said, you know, how, you know, as a young boy, I handle, you know, I handle rejection real good. You know, girlfriend quit you, I never run behind her. Because, see, my relationship with God superseded my relationship with others. So when they said, well, we just quit, that's okay. Because you ain't the son of my world.
Yeah, right.
Because as a little boy, Jesus was the son. Are y'all getting this?
That's right.
Y'all don't understand what I'm saying? I'm saying now people cannot control you, manipulate you when you have made God your source. And you're so tied in with his love for you. But you got to work on that. It just don't happen. You just can't come sit up in church and get, no. You got to talk about God. Lord, I thank you for loving me. I thank you for loving my family, and you love my children, my grandchildren. Oh, God, you cover us with your love. You got to do that. Amen. All right, then number four, you got to rehearse your success. Rehearse your success. What do you mean? You got to talk about what God's done for you. You got to talk about what he's done. Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, he's done something for everybody. You follow me?
Yes, sir.
But I know he's done a whole lot for me. Yes, indeed. And so what with this new, yeah, like I said, we're launching our own network. It's in Jesus' name. And we're going to start at ITV. But we, you know, wherever it goes, that's where it goes. But I got to get started. That's what God said. So you got to get started. And the dream God's put in my heart is a network for women. Max Life Network for women. First Christian network for women in the nation. 90% of the folk who watch television are women. But 90% of Christian programming is men. There's a disparity here. And I be called. Yeah, I be called. Got it? But to do that, it's going to require, you know, a whole nother content of programming. Got it? And so what I'm supposed to do is I'm supposed to set up a studio for production, to produce the kind of content. You got it? And I already got started. Everybody say you already got started. See, I already got started here. Got it? Yeah, I already got started here because I already said yes to God about it. And I'm telling you, I got partners all over America. New Light, that's stuff we're going to do here, but this is for my partners.
Hey, amen. Hallelujah.
You got it?
Come on.
This is for partners. Everybody say, and don't you put your mouth on it either. Now, I'm trying to help you on now. Don't you put your mouth on this. This is a God thing. And so we're poised to do it. I'm going to set up a whole studio complex. And all we're going to do is it's about us producing new content. Because it's not going to be preacher after preacher after preacher. And then why can't we have a real reality show? No, I mean, you don't have to have a reality show that exploits people. Yeah. And so, I'm telling you, I'm excited. But so when I look at it, I got to go back now and say, okay, now God, look how you've done all this other stuff. When I didn't see how you were going to put me on television, you did. When I didn't see how you were going to finish this building in 1 week. Some of the saints who've been with me remember that Sunday, the Sunday before we came in here, this building looked impossible to finish. It looked like a total impossibility, but God said, you dedicated on this date and you dedicated without a mortgage. And that's all I got to go on. So I said, now listen, I told them, lock all the doors. Don't let none of the members come in here because they ain't going to believe we're going to finish. And I don't need nobody's mouth against it. Now, devil was bombarding my head, man, all at the same time. Said, man, you are not going to finish. He always come with this thing. I got you this time. And I have to remind him, you said that last time. You follow me? And God miraculously brought everything together. Supernaturally finished this place. And we dedicated it without a mortgage on the day he said. But see, what you got to do is you got to talk to yourself about God. Now watch this. Before I had victories, I was talking about the victories of my mentor. Yeah, now before I had all of the victories and all that kind of stuff, then of course my mentor, he would do for me like I'm doing for you. Talk about what God had done.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
And so when I said, well, Lord, if you could do so and so and so for Dr. A.M. McCardell, and if you could do this for Dr. C.L. Jackson, then Lord, you can do some stuff for me too.
Yeah.
Well, I'm building my faith up. Everybody say you got to build your faith. All right, number five, sow a seed. Everybody say, release a seed. Yeah, why? Because I'm targeting favor for a certain area. I'm targeting favor for a certain area. You always talking about seed. I'm telling you because that's how I live.
Yeah. Right.
All right, where am I, number six? Recite the scripture. Recite the scripture. You got to find you a victorious passage to recite. Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled. I can't. Y'all have to stop that one. I have to stop that. I'm telling you, I go off on that. I'm serious. I will go off on that. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant. Yeah, let me stop that. Yeah, amen, amen. No, what I'm saying, that's my battle cry. When I'm in my fight, ooh, Lord. You know, when he was on television talking about the helicopter, ladder, all that kind of stuff. Man, I'm around there walking. I'm around there talking and quoting the scripture. Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, my enemies, my foes, and the television station came upon me to eat up my flesh. They what? Stumbled. And did they stumble and fall? You better believe they did. I'm telling you. So you got to get to your scripture. You got to quote the word of God. Build yourself. Are y'all listening to me? Look, person, say, get the CD, get the CD. Okay, I got to hurry up. All right. Then you got to rejoice in his superiority. That no, God, I'm depending on you. This is not about me. This is about you. All right. Now, point number five. Y'all ready? Point number one was the possibility of the supernatural. Point number two was the prophecy of the supernatural. Point number three, the pitfall. Point number four, the prescription. And point number five is the preparation. Everybody say the preparation. Okay, watch this. It's always been the order of God that we prepare for the fight. That we prepare for the blessing. We prepare for the victory. So David goes, when he's got to prepare to meet Goliath, and gets five smooth stones. Got it? Jesus couldn't wait until, the day before the crucifixion to prepare the disciples. Preparation has to take place in advance. All right? When the Lord spoke to me and said to me, I'm going to have people come from far and near to sit at your feet to learn church growth principles, I start preparing myself. For the day they would come. I started reading and studying church growth all over the world. Out of that, I got faith for church growth. So amazing. Really, out of my study for church growth and preparing myself to teach others to grow their churches, my church grew. So now I was ready for them to come. But preparation is important. I'm saying for the supernatural move, there's some preparation. See, here's the stretching part because this is the work part. Everybody say the work part. All right, number one, prepare my thought life. The bedrock for change is my thinking. Saturation brings liberation. So I want to saturate my thought life by listening to CDs. I mean, it's a shame. I call it a shame. I was talking to one of the pastors today about, that was a time, man, at the end of service, there'd be a line. Folk wanted to get there. CD. I'm not doing CDs. They were tapes. You got it? Because people valued the word listening to. Now, man, it's not the same. Where is the thirst for the word? You got to keep listening to it. It's going to change my thought life. Everybody say my thought life. I got to prepare by the management of my thought life. Watch this. The management of my time. My time is so important that there's some that I've got to prioritize my time. It's important for me to be in church. I'm going to be there. All right. I got to manage my team, manage my thoughts, manage my time, manage my team. Now, what do you mean my team? I mean, people who are around me, who are directly connected to me, I got to make sure that they are on a supernatural plane like I am. I just can't have my close people. I can't have fearful folk around me. When God got ready to take Gideon to another level, he had to get away. He needed an army, needed a team to do it. Then God qualified the team. Everybody was fearful. He said, go home, because fear is contagious. Everybody that was fleshful, that's a new word, fleshful, everybody say fleshful, full of flesh. When those men went down and began to fall right down on the water and drink up the water, he said, you send them home because all they're concerned about is themselves. They lost sight on the vision. But those who were the faithful, who kept their eye on the enemy, those are the ones I need. I need somebody with me on my team who believe in like I'm believing. That's what I need. I need somebody who's believing like I'm believing. Because many times it calls for a team effort.
Oh, you listen to me. The whole reason I talk about my ITV network is because I'm recruiting a team. I talked to a guy today on the phone, and I told him about the vision. And I told him, ain't no money in it right now. But I need to know if you can be on my team. He said, most definitely, you count me in. I'm going to work on this right now. I'm putting my team together. Are you listening to me? Now watch this. Once I started, things start falling into place. When I got over the fear, some of y'all tweeted that. That was so good too. When you get beyond the fear, favor starts falling into place. Hallelujah. All right. So I got to manage my thoughts. I got to manage my time. I got to manage my team. I got to manage my treasure. I got a soul because I want to invest for kingdom return. Got it? Boy, now, you know, my praise the Lord, I got an investment instrument, thing. And we got our slip of paper the other day, and, you know, we did real good. I think it had to be around, in this market, we did almost, I think it had to be somewhere around right at 10% return on all our stuff. Now, that's pretty good. That's pretty good, you understand? But see, I gave more to the kingdom than I got in that investment. Because I get some kingdom returns on this thing. I'm serious. I'm giving to the kingdom. I give a whole lot to the kingdom. Why? Because my investment is not just in the stock market. It's not just in my annuities. I'm making kingdom investments because the Bible teaches me and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. That you always have all sufficiency in what? All things may abound to what? Every good work. Amen, amen. All right. I got to prepare by the management of my mouth, my tongue. And I got to tell you, believers, many of you backed off of confessing the word like you used to. Got to get back to that. We live a supernatural life. I got to call those things to be not to the word. Amen. We are better than ever. We're better than ever. Everybody say, I'm stretching for the supernatural. And I'm better than ever. More money in my hands than I've had in a long, long time. Amen. Now, if you don't want more money, don't say it. But if you do. Yeah. Death and life's in the power of the tongue. Death and life's in the power of the tongue. Yes, death and life's in the power of the tongue. Yes. So what I want, I got to say it. Yes. I got to call it in. Yes. Amen. I got to call it. I got to take my wallet and call it in. I call in. Oh, you listening? Yes, sir. You walking around your job, you know, you walking around there declaring, I'm getting promoted in Jesus' name. Yes. I'm getting promoted in Jesus' name. Doors are opening for me. But you got to say it. Everybody say you got to say it. Now, so here's what the Spirit of God told me. He said, now, son, you got to go back to the elementary stuff because even those who know need to be reminded. And I'm going, huh? Because I think you ought to know. But, you know, I think folk are confessing the word. They ain't confessing it. Amen. All right. I got two more points. Can y'all give me time to get two more points? We're already here. I'll see if I can get through them as quick as I can. Point number six is the passion for the supernatural. How bad do you want it? So the Bible says, Paul says, I press. This is the stretching. Everybody say, I stretch. Yeah. Now when we talk about stretching, we're saying that I will put forth the faith action, totally relying on the saving power of God, to the point that I'm willing to go above and beyond what I initially thought I was going to do. I'm willing because I believe I'm close to my breakthrough. Watch this. See, you don't stretch unless you think you can touch it. My willingness to stretch means I believe I'm real close. I believe I'm real close. I'm relying. See, here's the whole stretching thing is that, see, you get so charged up in faith, you know, something got to break. The passage say you're going to break forth. I got to believe I'm about to break forth. Watch this. I'm planning like I'm going to break forth. I'm talking like I'm going to break. break forth. Are you listening to me? Everybody say no more pressure.
No more pressure.
I'm breaking forth.
Every need I have
is met in supernatural abundance. I've chased fear out of my life.
I'm engulfed
in the love of God.
I'm expecting
the supernatural
in my career,
in my finances,
in my relationship.
Today,
I agree with God.
I'm better
than ever.
Right now, stretching is not an emotional resolve because emotional commitments don't last long. Stretching, we have examples in the scripture. Stretching is my reliance on the Savior. God is helping me. Whenever I stretch, it's not me depending on me, but me depending on God. All right? Stretching is required for everything you see around you. I'm talking right now for what you see. So what you see in my life, my marriage was about a stretch. You follow me? I had to go beyond. I believe I could have a good marriage. I didn't have one. I had to stretch for it. You follow me? We told you about this church. You look at this church. You know, we owe no man nothing on it. In Jesus' name, we thank God for that. But it was a stretch. It was a stretch to just stand and believe God. You follow me? That every time Larry and him would bring me a bill, we'd have the money to pay for it. I'm telling you, because we went through our reserves. But look at God. Are you listening to me? Everybody say stretch, stretch, stretch. Yeah, everything I have had to stretch for it. You know, I have the my wonderful AIM fellowship, But I had to stretch. That was a stretch for me because I was satisfied with me and me. I didn't want a relationship with the preachers. No, I didn't. I mean, I'd give them anything I want to, but I want a relationship. But because relationship is potential drama. And, of course, you know, with your church, you got enough drama as it is. So I didn't need no preacher drama.
Yes, sir.
Got it? So I had to stretch beyond my comfort zone. You follow me? And so I could let God love preachers through me.
Yes, sir.
I want y'all to understand this. See, all this ain't about money. But for me to have a heart that God wanted me to have to minister to preachers, then I had to stretch because I was happy with just me and Bridget. I don't have nobody else around me. Me and Bridget, we're going on vacation together. I don't need nobody else. We love each other. I'm telling you, that's fine with me. And as far as the preachers, I would give them anything. Whatever, what you want, what you need. I give it to you. What you want? Give it to you. I mean, you know, ideas, books, plans, fine. But we don't need no relationship. When y'all gone, y'all gone. See y'all next time. Don't be calling me. I want no wisdom. Y'all looking at yourself. But that's the way I was. I don't want nobody going to be calling me. I don't need no relationship. Then God said, no, son, that's what I want you to have a relationship. Now he calling me. I got to obey him.
Right.
So I got to stretch to obey him. I got to stretch beyond me. I got to get outside my comfort zone.
Wow.
You got it? I got to ask for compassion for preachers because I got to please God. And he did it. I enjoyed my fellowship. Totally enjoy the fellowship. Well, just the whole church. The whole church had to stretch for it. Because when I came out of the denomination, it was a stretch. Because everybody said I'd fail. There was not one person in this city said I would succeed. Not one. Everybody said I would fail. And my two friends that I had, they turned on me overnight. Oh, they turned on overnight. We said that we were gonna all declare that God. We've been. This is my prayer group. You know, you have your prayer partners. This is my prayer partners. Me and these other two preachers. We pray together on this new walk we were gonna go into, living by faith and preaching the word and teaching the word of God and laying hands. We prayed about all this. We all said God said it was time.
Wow.
Then. The Sunday we said we were going to announce it. That Sunday night, nobody called me. You know, I still made my call. I stood up and declared, we are no longer New Light Missionary Baptist Church. We're New Light Church World Outreach and Worship Service. We lay hands on the sick, cast out devils, speak in other tongues. Y'all clapping, but look. 92% of the folk didn't come back the next week. They say that, what you gonna do? Everybody say stretch, stretch. I didn't back off. Well, the preachers, I called them that Sunday night. I said, fellas, how'd it go? And one guy said, I got too much to lose.
Wow.
I said, huh?
Wow.
I said, I thought you said God said it. I got too much to lose.
Wow.
And the other guy, he just said, man, timing ain't right now. Timing ain't right now. Then the next thing I thought I knew, they had sided with everybody else. Because, see, they were afraid to make the move. So now they were throwing rocks at me.
Wow.
But I stretched.
Come on.
And I broke through. Everybody say, and he broke through. I'm saying that that's what's about to happen for you. You're going to stretch. Everybody say, I'm going to stretch. And I'm going to break through. It happened with Peter, his miracle catch. He had to stretch to say when Jesus says, let's go catch fish at the wrong time of the day.
Right.
But because I said it, it can happen.
Yes, sir.
Peter said, well, we toiled all night, didn't catch nothing. But nevertheless, at thy word, I will. I'm prophetically saying you're going to go back into the same waters where you failed.
Wow.
Same areas where they turned you down.
Wow.
And you're going to receive.
Hallelujah.
It's going to be different. Everybody say, it's about to be different. Happened with the widow and her cake. She had to stretch to get back into obedience. She knew what the Lord told her, but she had to stretch. And then there's the man with the withered hand. Everybody say the withered hand.
Withered hand.
Oh, and that's in Luke chapter 6. I thought I was going to be able to get a chance to go there. But it was a serious situation because in his situation, there were complex personalities around. Jesus, in the early part of his ministry, they said that in the synagogue, there was this man with a withered hand. The personality that was there, the man was there, the Pharisees were there, and the disciples were there. They had not been picked yet, but they were the candidates there. And then Jesus was there. Now, here's the thing. The man was aware of his paralysis. The Pharisees were saying, Jesus, you know good and well you ain't supposed to be healing on no Sabbath. And if you do, we're going to catch you. We got you. Compassion sets the platform that Jesus got to do something. So in his wisdom, what Jesus says, because now the supernatural availability is there. The man's right hand is withered. And Jesus says, stretch it out. Now watch this. If the man stretches, he gets healed supernaturally. But Jesus don't get blamed for healing on the Sabbath because it didn't work. He gets the credit, but it doesn't get to be. Are you listening to me? So the man is called to participate in his own miracle. So now he's challenged to push beyond his limitations. He's been looking at this limp hand. And he ain't got no feeling in it. And Jesus says, stretch it out. With all eyes on him, the Bible says, and he did, and the power came. He connected with the power when he chose to participate. I'm telling you, when you choose to participate with God, says, I've been sitting at the seminar and I've learned this, I learned that, I learned the other. I'm going to get the CD. I'm going to saturate myself with this. This will be a supernatural year for me.
Yeah.
Look at the person that said, he's talking to me, he's talking to me. The seventh final point is you praise God for the supernatural. And so in Isaiah 54:1, he says, now that you have this conviction that the Almighty God has set the stage to do something for you that's going to be far greater than you ever thought it would. You're going to prepare for better. You're going to prepare for greater. Now that you've got this conviction that it's not by your might,
not by your power, but by his. God's going to bring you out by his power. God's going to heal you by his power. God's going to deliver you by his power. God's going to give you a new home by his power. God's going to give you a better job by his power. It's not me I'm dependent on, but I'm dependent on him. Then the writer says, now can you shout? Sing, O barren, because you're not going to be barren. And that's what sets the atmosphere and our attitude as we leave. As we get out of here and as we leave here, these two nights, we leave in here trusting God. Everybody say, I'm trusting God. I'm trusting God because I understand, just like the man with the withered hand, nothing supernatural happens until I take a step. Till I make a move, nothing supernatural happens. Everybody say, take a step, take a step. Yeah, yeah. The Jordan never rolled back until they took a step. Red Sea never rolled back until Moses raised the rod. See, the supernatural is waiting on your obedience. Lazarus will be still in the grave dead until the sisters moved the stone. Are you listening to me? That would have been no miracle of feeding the 5,000 until they gave Jesus the fish and the loaves. You would be still lost in darkness until you made Jesus your Lord. Yes, nothing happens supernaturally until we are willing to boldly.
Yes, sir.
Take a step. And that step is the stretch of faith. And when you do that depending on God, there is no failure. There is no risk because God cannot lie. And God says you will not be brought to shame. Folk may be laughing now, but they won't laugh long. This year is our year. Give the Lord a big shout, won't you? Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. Lord, we praise you. Come on, let's get to your feet. Let's see if we can't praise him a little bit. We praise your name, Lord Jesus. Take that step of faith in your heart. Get the dream back. Don't talk yourself out of it. I don't know how I'm going to pay for it. You don't have to know right now. It ain't about knowing how they're going to pay for it. I don't need to know how I'm going to pay for it. He said, if I obey him and serve him, I spend my days in prosperity, my years in pleasure. I've been faithful. Amen, amen. So that which I desire, I hold on to. That's what he promised, I hold on to. Supernatural. Everybody say supernatural. Amen, amen, amen. And here's a good thing. Here's a good thing. The good thing about it is that when supernatural things begin to happen, we all rejoice with each other. No jealousy or anything like that. I'm excited because when I see something supernatural happen for you, I know it can happen for me too. Give the Lord a shout. Come on, give him a bigger shout, bigger shout, bigger shout, bigger shout.